This podcast is sponsored by Rask Invest, my guide to money and investing on the ASX and globally. To learn more about Rask Invest, follow the link in your podcast player. Don't forget that in November 2019, the Rask team and I will be hosting investor events in Melbourne and Sydney, with lots of great guests and giveaways. The events are sponsored by our friends at ShareSite and Strawman.com. In addition to the evening events, I'll be hosting up to 20 DIY investors for intensive one-day investing research and valuation workshops. If you want to learn the nitty-gritty of investing in businesses, follow the link available in your podcast player to learn more.
Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast, a podcast for people who want to learn more about their personal finances and get the most from their money. This series is hosted by Kate Campbell from How To Money and Owen Raskovich from Rask Finance.
The Australian Finance Podcast is provided for educational purposes only. The information is general in nature and does not take into account your needs, goals, or objectives. What that means is the information does not apply to you specifically. So consider getting the advice of a licensed and trusted professional before acting on the information. Okay, Kate, welcome back to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
Yes, and we're talking all about Owen's favorite man in the world.
Warren Buffett.
With two T's.
With two T's, that's right. We've got a topic that's about an individual. I don't think we've had a topic about a single person.
No.
And it's probably fitting too because he is often called the world's greatest investor. Mm. So we'll dig into who he is. If you've heard his name around, but you don't know exactly what he's about, we'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah, and talk all about what the big deal is about Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got some quotes and we might just, shoot the breeze and some of those quotes and what they might mean and some of the lessons we can draw from them.
Mm.
And that's going to be the episode. So I'm keen to get into this. Kate, why don't you tell us who is Warren Buffett?
Well, he's a investor in the US that has a company called Berkshire Hathaway. Well, that's listed now, so he doesn't own all of it. Mm-hmm. But he is well known for being a famous investor and buying many companies at good prices.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of investing in that value investing style.
Mm-hmm. And that's the idea that you buy things for less than what they're worth.
Mm.
Yep. Which is probably easier said than done, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was reading on the weekend, he's worth around $82 billion US, sort of mid this year. So he's the third wealthiest person in the world, though that the top five apparently fluctuate depending on whose investments are up at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. The stock prices of the company that they started or that they own largely depends where they end up on that list.
Yeah, so he's sort of a bit different where he might not actually we might just buy a few stocks in a company we like. He'll go at them. Buy the company.
That's it, yeah. I think that's the big difference is that he does own individual positions. Like he's owned Apple shares, for example, or Coca-Cola shares. But he also has the ability to buy entire companies because he has his own business, which is worth more than $400 billion itself.
Yeah.
So he can use that money to go and buy other businesses outright.
Mm. And what the share price for the Berkshire Hathaway stock?
I'm going to look this up in Google as we speak. One share of Berkshire Hathaway's number one stock, which is, there's two different ones, it's a cheaper one and this more expensive one, is $311,000.
Which is pretty insane.
So if you had one of these shares in your portfolio, you'd need $311,000.
Mm.
You can get the cheaper one is, to fill in the blanks for people that don't understand what's going on, the cheaper version of the stock is really just the main one broken up into more pieces.
Mm.
So you can still buy one or the other depending on how much money you have. I think it's more of like a status thing to buy the more expensive one for $311,000.
Saying you own a unit in that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, the most expensive stock in Australia is only a couple of $100.
Yeah, that's it. And that's in Australian dollars. So, yeah, the $311,000 would be over $400 in Australian dollars. $400,000, I mean. Okay, so let's talk more about Warren Buffett. He is called the Sage of Omaha, which is the place that he's from. Mm. He's
been in the same house for like 30 years.
Yeah, I think it's all of his life he's been there. Well, he moved around. He moved away for work and for study and then came back to Omaha, Nebraska. But perhaps, Kate, you can just fill us in on some of the steps in his life that are important from his early childhood and some of the things that people have pulled out from his journey as like defining moments.
Yeah. So researching him, he's been always been an entrepreneur, from paper runs when he was a boy to, I think, one of the interesting stories I read about how in his senior year of high school, he and a friend actually purchased a pinball machine for $25. And then they not only had the pinball machine in the school, but they also had it in other locations nearby. And within months, he owns multiple pinball machines at different locations and then is able to sell the business for $1,200 a year later. So he's been entrepreneurial from a very young age and finding ways to take a small business idea and turn it into something really big.
Mm. And the thing about Warren is that, look at me using first names. the thing about Warren Buffett is that he started very early.
Mm.
So that's probably, you know, we talk about how he's done amazingly for his investors. I think he produces an annual letter that goes out to all of his shareholders or just anyone that has an internet connection, and we'll put a link in the show notes. But he, you know, we know him because he's returned something like 2,000,000% or something outrageous for his shareholders in that time. But some of the things that we don't know, it's not touted very often, is how long he's been investing. So you just mentioned starting at a young age. I think he bought his first share when he was 11. People are going to probably write in and say that's wrong, but I think it was when he was 11. And by the age of 30, he was a millionaire. So,
and that was what it was goal. I read that he declared in his early 20s he was going to be a millionaire by 30.
Yeah, and that's not a millionaire now where you have like one or two properties and you seem to have done well from a house in Sydney and a house in Melbourne.
Yeah.
This is actually from someone, you know, many, many decades 60, ago.
60, 70 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
How old is he? In his 80s?
Yeah, he's in his 80s, yeah. And, you know, that's a pretty impressive feat in itself, right? Mm. But then if you fast forward to now, it works out that he made more than 99% of his money. And we've talked about this before. He's made more than 99% of his money after 60. So if you just think about that, he was already wealthy back then, but thanks to compounding, he's become extraordinarily wealthy, but only after many years of compounding.
Yeah, it didn't happen in the first few decades.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So he's not only been a good investor, but he's been a good investor for a very long time. And so when we ask just how popular Warren Buffett is, we've got in the notes here that, and this comes from the Motley Fool, that around about 40,000 people go to the Berkshire Hathaway annual meetings every year.
So if you own a stock, you can go.
Yep.
So a lot of people just buy one unit of the Class B stock just so they can go to the annual meetings, and they travel all over the world to see him for a few hours speak.
Yeah, and you can he has a long-time investing partner called Charlie Munger, who's brilliant in himself and a fellow billionaire, but he's already given away most of his money. But you can watch it on Yahoo Finance. They do a live stream of the meeting every year. And I think not the one just gone, so not 2019, but 2018. When I looked at it within the first couple of months, it had 17.5 million views. And this thing's, you know, it goes for like 9 hours.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty not long like day. It's a cat video or whatever.
People queue outside to get in. It's like X Factor on steroids for investors.
And that's because Gate, he's telling people, thousands of people in the stadium and millions of people watching, exactly how he does things, why he does things. That's probably the most important thing, why he does things. All the lessons that we're about to get to, some of them, all the lessons. Every time he speaks, both maybe less so Charlie Munger, but every time Warren Buffett speaks, he wants you to learn. And so that's, I guess, the reason why people go to see him, the reason why people pay attention to him.
And we talk about all these free resources that you can find online to kickstart your own investing journey. And you don't have to pay a fortune to get good quality information. And people like Warren Buffett and quite a few of the other really wealthy investors that have done well provide all this information free to the public to access through his letters that he provides. So we'll link to that in the show notes, and through his annual meeting.
Yeah.
And any speaking gig he does, pretty much.
Almost every one of the big shot investors that I interview have said that reading Warren Buffett's letters is pretty much table stakes, as in you have to read that to understand how investing works.
Yeah.
And you can go and get them. They're free. You can go and print them off, or you can, I mean, you can do what I did. I printed them off, but then I also wanted to get the 50th year anniversary book. And I went and got a book that's got all 50 years of it together. And you can just get this stuff for free or virtually for free. And it's from the best investor in the world. I mean, what more do you want?
Mm.
Right. So
That's enough about him, I guess. Let's talk more about some of the rules that he has. And Kate, you're going to kick us off with probably the one that he's, well, not he's most famous for, but it's one of his most popular by a long way. So can
you tell us what it is? So one of his most popular golden rules that you'll probably see in every article that's to do with personal finance and investing is rule number one is never lose money. Rule number two is never forget rule number one.
Mm. And so this is an interesting one. Like, we were just talking off air, right?
Yeah. I find that one a bit weird to myself because, like, when you're investing, you do lose money.
Mm.
But I think you had other thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's more about the psychology of it, because if you think about not losing money, that's your first goal, don't lose money.
Mm.
Because, you know, like, we know from maths that once you lose money, it's harder to get it back than it is just to not lose it in the first place and just go about your way. And I think what he's trying to say here, this is my interpretation of it, is that first and foremost, focus on how you can lose and what's the risk involved in anything you do. And then once you get over that hurdle, then you can think about the return. And you would see it all the time. You see it everywhere you go. People talking about stocks, they're like, oh, I bought this, you know, speculative thing that's, you know, it's going to go up tenfold because lithium's amazing and pot stocks and crypto and blah, blah. Well, maybe, you know, that's not the way to compound. Maybe the way to compound is to figure out what's the best way for me not to lose money but still make some.
Mm.
I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way I think about it. Anyway, I'll read this one and maybe you can spitball once I deliver it. So we've got, quote, someone sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago, end quote.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I often think about that in my own life because, yeah, buying a house might be a massive goal that you think is completely out of reach, but other people that have bought a house probably thought that 10 years ago. So it's more about taking the first step now so you can sort of plant your tree and then have it in the future. So everything that people have achieved, they've achieved because they put small steps in 10, 20 years beforehand.
Mm. And it comes back to that compounding, right?
Mm.
You got to start today and, you know, that's they say that this is the old Chinese proverb that's the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, the next best time is today.
Yeah.
Just start.
And that's so true when it comes to your personal finances. You might think there's absolutely no hope you can save $1,000, but if you don't actually put anything aside, then you're not going to ever save $1,000. Mm. But it's just, you've got to start with.
You failed before you've even begun, right?
If
you don't even give it a shot. Okay, so the next one is,
if you aren't willing to own a stock for 10 years, don't even think about owning it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
it's pretty scary to think about owning one stock for 10 years.
Yeah, and this comes back to the idea that you're owning a business. So being a value investor, you focus on businesses and you value businesses. You're not buying just things that go up and down on a page or on your phone or whatever. And he's got another quote further down, which it's the effect that, well, this is what he says. He says, quote, I never attempt to make money on the stock market. I buy on the assumption that they could lose the market the next day and not reopen it for 5 years.
Mm.
And so these two kind of go hand in hand. It's to say that investing in shares is a long-term thing. And what he's focused on is the business. He doesn't need a share price chart or an app to tell him what his companies are worth because he has his own valuation, his own knowledge of the business. And so he's not going to buy something just based on what a chart tells him to do.
Yeah, or the media hype.
Or what his friends mentioned to him. He's got his own opinion on what it's worth. And I think that is really well encapsulated in those two quotes. Okay, so, and this is to that point, Kate. I'll read it. It's, quote, when we own portions of outstanding businesses with outstanding management, our favorite holding period is forever, end quote. And when he says we, he's obviously talking about he and Charlie or Berkshire Hathaway. So what does that mean, do you think?
Well, pretty much they want to buy pieces of a good company. And I mean, if it's a good company, you don't need to sell stock. If it continues to be a good company and it's growing, then you can hold that forever.
Yeah, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, so I'm not going to quote it, but his original investment in Coca-Cola, which they're still one of the biggest investors in the world in Coca-Cola shares, and this is the New York version, not the Australian version. I can't remember the figure, something like $1 million for like every 10,000 that's invested or something crazy like that. And if you think about it, he bought that decades and decades and decades ago. It's probably paying more in dividends now than he originally invested in it, and that's dividends every year.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, like, that's just crazy. The next one.
An investor should act as though he had a lifetime decision card with just 20 punches on it.
But this is an interesting one. It's kind of phrased a bit funny, but yeah. We'll say he or she. Imagine you have, one of those, like a coffee cup you get, yeah. Like a loyalty card you get when you go and you get it from your favorite cafe, and then you get to the 10th one, it's free. But imagine that instead you can only drink 10 coffees in your lifetime. Where would you drink those 10 coffees? Mm. And if you think about that, like shares, if you can only buy 10, which ones would you buy? And if it's not, again, it's not so much taking it in a literal sense. He means just take your time. Mm. Buy the things, the outstanding businesses or shares that you want to hold for a long period of time.
And is it Warren that says you only have to do a few things right?
That's Peter Lynch, so another great investor.
Okay, I'm mixing them all up. As long as you don't do many things wrong.
Yeah, that's it. So he does. I mean, he has a very similar saying, but the one I think you may be calling on is from Peter Lynch, who says you only need to get 6 out of 10 right.
Yeah.
To be a good investor, and that's the truth, because as long as you don't, I mean, you could even explode on one of them, and then the other 6 do well, and it could outweigh the loser. Okay, so. This is a good one. I don't know if this is a quote about life or about investing, but he says, quote, "The most important thing to do if you find yourself in a hole is to stop digging," end quote.
Yeah. I think I was going in the life quote section as well. He has a lot of good advice, not just in investing, because you have to be a pretty switched on person to become a billionaire.
You do, yeah. And I think, like, let's just take that from an investing analogy. You could probably just say that if you find yourself and you've made a bad investment, that you shouldn't just keep making a bad investment. You shouldn't just, as we might say, water your flowers, not your weeds.
Yeah, and you do see individuals and fund managers, even in the industry, that will defend their idea to the bitter end till the company is in liquidation or becomes insolvent or the chairman's convicted of fraud.
Yep.
Like they will, like it's knowing when to cut your losses, essentially, and when to change your decision. Like, you can change your decision. You might be wrong, or the situation might change, and it's just evaluating the situation and changing your mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, this quote, and it's good that it was in the life section, because it touches on so many other biases that we succumb to in everyday life. You know, we always want to be the one that has the right answer. I think if you take it back to investing, it's you don't need to be the one that comes up with the answer. You just need to be right. You don't need to be the one that come up with the idea. Just be right. And I think to think like that, you have to just put all of your ego aside and just accept what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you may not be, there's no points for originality. So anyway, next one we have, the one thing I will tell you is the worst investment you can have is cash. Kate, he goes on to say.
Everybody is talking about cash being king and all that sort of thing. Cash is going to become worthless over time, but good businesses are going to become worth more over time. I think we've had this debate on the podcast before, or well, discussion about, because I've heard some people say that cash is king. And
yeah, you have said that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, with inflation, if you just leave your money in a bank account where it's maybe getting 1%, your money's becoming worth less and less over time.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
And I think, so going back to his other quotes about businesses before, my take on this is it's so easy to become involved in what's going on day to day with share prices, horror stories in the news, Trump this, China that, you know, all these types of things that scare the bejesus out of you. But if you believe that good businesses will still make money for many, many years to come, then you'd be crazy not to even think about investing in those businesses. And I think that's the difference here. Like, businesses do make more money than individual people and everything else.
And even when shit hits the fan, people still need to eat, people still need to buy things, people still go to work. Like, the world keeps going.
It does. And even no matter how dire it can get, you know, businesses have survived. And that's that whole capitalism. Yeah. We're not going to get into politics, but it's like the capitalism mindset, just, you know, that we use money efficiently and you can invest in those businesses and make more money.
And then some bad businesses might not survive. And then there's businesses like Kodak who missed out on a massive change in technology.
Yep.
But then there's businesses like Netflix that have really good management and actually pivot at the right time in the exact right direction.
Two fantastic examples there, Kate. I like it. Okay, do you want to read the next one?
I think this is a big one, but never invest in a business you cannot understand. And I would just say never invest in anything you cannot understand.
Yep. That goes for managed funds, ETFs, shares, everything, property, buying off the plan if you're a property investor. Yeah,
I think that's just it. And we recently spoke to Nicole Haddo, who wrote Smashed Avocado, and her big point was doing so much research. You've got to do your research and you've got to understand it. Like at the moment, I'm not in a position to buy property and I don't understand how it all works and all the different fees involved. But if I did want to, I would want to fully understand what I was doing before I invested in it.
Now, I think that's a good point you make. You talk about fees there. When we say understand something, we don't just mean, you know, this is the business, this is what it does, or this is the ETF, this is what it does.
Yeah.
I think price will be X in whatever years.
I like watching movies.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah. We mean like thinking critically about the risks. Thinking about, you know, if it's a share, who's running the company? Thinking about if it's an ETF, what would this ETF do if, you know, what would I do if this ETF fell 10%? Would I still feel comfortable owning it? And that's just being smart, because no matter what you think, you can't change the price.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you think. It's what the actual business or the ETF does that's important.
So, and I often people say like the market doesn't care about your feelings. Yeah, like you might think it's amazing, but.
Yeah. Try convincing all the other investors in the world to put their money into it. And he's got another quote, or it's just an idea, which is this circle of competence. So invest in things that you know. You obviously want to be as close to the center of what you understand. So that doesn't mean you go and, if you're a carpenter, you don't go and put all of your money in investment property and then all of your money in property stocks or property ETFs. Like you still need to diversify and you still need to expand your circle of competence, but definitely don't put all your money into something you don't understand. Okay, and this is a fair, we just should have mentioned this next question right away. Quote, risk comes from not knowing what you're doing, end quote.
Definitely. There's always risks that you're going to have with any investment that you can know about but you can't necessarily mitigate. But there's also a lot of risk when you just jump into buying a stock because your friend tells you about it and you don't know anything about stocks or buying shares and you have no understanding of the business. So there's definitely another, I think, your personal risk if you don't know what you're doing. You're just adding onto all the existing level of risk that investments carry.
Totally. That's an unnecessary thing. If you don't know what you're doing, just don't buy it. It's the quote we just spoke to. Kate, next one.
Investors should remember that excitement and expenses are their enemies.
So if you're super excited about it, maybe it's not a great thing.
Yeah.
If it's got super high fees, again, maybe it's not a great thing.
Yeah.
So you might encounter excitement if you're talking about speculative stocks. It's okay to have some. As we've talked on the podcast before, you might have some, but you might not have any.
But if you're going to own these businesses and exchange-traded funds and properties for a long period of time, the excitement wears off. So you've got to make sure you've got something good underlying that you're happy to hold for a long period of time once the initial honeymoon is over.
Totally. And with expenses, we've talked about superannuation, managed funds, all those types of things.
Keep fees down.
Yeah, they just eat away at your future, so do not...
And fees are usually something you can control.
Yep.
And especially with super, check what fees you're paying.
Yep, just log into your account, get your annual statement, have a look, shop around. Okay, the next one is, quote, keep things simple and don't swing for the fences. When promised quick profits, respond with a quick no, end quote.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably talking about a lot of the media and the trends where people are just jumping from trend to trend. And
Yep. And, you know, I think this is also true to the extent that, you know, we do talk a lot about ETFs on the show. Some podcasts talk a lot about property. It's important that, you know, we have broad horizons and we're not necessarily focused on what's happened this year, the last 5 years, or even the last 10 years. And do keep a check on our behavioral biases that can come in. And, you know, just because a stock went up yesterday, just because an ETF did well yesterday, doesn't mean it's going to do well tomorrow. We always talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and when promised quick profits, respond with a quick no. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. As a thing. No free lunch. Don't fall for a get rich quick scheme.
Absolutely.
There's always a new one out there. Someone's always got some sort of scheme.
And to the point of ETFs, I think this last quote is so important because people are probably sitting back, Kate, and they're probably thinking, Warren Buffett's this stock guy from America. you know, we're told stocks can be risky. I'm not an investor, blah, 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 blah. Well, he's got an idea for that too. And he's been saying it for decades. So
yeah.
What is it?
So if you like spending 6 to 8 hours per week working on investments, do it. If you don't, then dollar cost average your way into index funds and exchange traded funds where you just get a huge sample of the market.
Yep.
And you don't have to make that decision on which one are you going to buy. You just get the average of the market.
Yeah. So Warren Buffett was a big fan of index funds, which was popularized by Jack Bogle, who was the founder of Vanguard. And, you know, he's always said that if you're not an active investor, as in properly willing to commit to yourself, not just passing interest, but if you're not going to commit to it, just invest in an index fund. Go do something else with your life, effectively. Mm. And hey, 90% of people probably shouldn't be investing in individual shares. They should probably just stick with index funds.
Yeah, and exchange-traded funds are a fantastic way to do that. And you can get perfectly awesome results by just using exchange-traded funds.
Yep.
You don't have to be the next Warren Buffett to have a wonderful life.
Yeah, that's true. You don't. You know, we've talked about before, there's different ways you can talk about using different strategies. You can use index funds. You can build a property portfolio while you're doing it. You can do whatever you like. I think this is just a really good default for those people that maybe aren't hands-on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the third richest person in the world recommends it.
Yeah.
I think he said that if he passes away, that his money should be the money after the donations, because he's leaving most, I think 99% of it to charity, but it should be sold and put into just basic index funds and ETFs for his family.
Yeah. So he's got the money that he's going to keep, which is not much in the scheme of how much he has, but the rest of it's going to go to charities, and he's already told them how to distribute it, how to invest it, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's, that quote kind of encapsulates everything you need to know about investing.
Mm.
Okay. So there's one last thing which doesn't come from Warren Buffett. Well, he's got this first quote. We'll read the first quote, and then someone else has expanded on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first quote from Buffett is, quote, "We make actual decisions very rapidly, but that's because we've spent so much time preparing ourselves by quietly sitting and reading and thinking," end quote. And he's talking about we make decisions. He's talking about he and Charlie Munger.
And they're very famous for saying they spend all day reading books.
Yeah. And so we've got another bit of information here from the Farnham Street blog. We've talked about this before, this blog. I think it's brilliant.
It really goes deep into ideas and makes you think about areas that you wouldn't really spend time thinking about or talking about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend it if you're looking to sort of think further about and deeper about topics.
Mm. And this is written, the Farnham Street blog is written by a guy called Shane Parrish. And this is what he said in response to that quote about sitting quietly and reading and thinking. He says, "Finding the time to read is easier than you think. One way to help make that happen is to carve out an hour of your day just for yourself. It's important to think about the opportunity cost of this hour. On one hand, you can check Twitter, read some online news, and reply to a few emails while pretending to finish the memo that is supposed to be the focus of your attention. On the other hand, you can dedicate the time to improving yourself. In the short term, you're better off with the dopamine-laced rush of email and Twitter while multitasking. In the long term, the investment in learning something new and improving yourself goes further," end quote. I feel like that's pretty much everything you need to say. But he also wrote an article, I believe, is that from him?
Yeah, it was. So it's the Buffett formula of water. I was about to say buffet. Going to bed smarter than when you woke up. And it's just, he really expands that idea about spending an hour of the day investing in yourself, whether that's in learning something new, working on a hobby with your side hustle, like whatever it is, like work on yourself and invest in your future and your education.
Yep. And that's just a really good idea. Go to bed smarter than you woke up.
Yep.
That's great advice.
You might not learn anything in your day job, but make sure you learn something before you go to bed.
Yep. I like it. So, Kate, that was our wrap on Warren Buffett. We've got some great quotes there. We're going to link to the show notes, to his annual letters, some quote pages.
And I think just as any investor, but especially as someone getting started, he's a great person to learn more about. Just a quick Google search or have a look on YouTube. People make fan videos for him. But Have a read about him. Have a read of his company. He's very public about what he invests in.
Mm-hmm.
Have a read of his free annual shareholder letters where he just drops his wisdom. Mm-hmm. And even just watch some clips from the previous annual meetings.
Mm-hmm. And next time you pick up a can of Coca-Cola or you see someone drinking one, just know that Warren Buffett owns part of that company.
And Kraft Cheese as well.
Yeah, Kraft Cheese, Kraft Heinz. He did have some ownership of Gillette, the razors. He owned part of Apple. He owns heaps of these companies. Like, when we're saying small parts, but he owns parts of all these companies that you know and use every day.
Yeah.
The greatest investor in the world.
Have a look at his portfolio. He puts it online.
That's it. Yeah, check it out. Okay, Kate, thanks for joining me. If people want to get in touch with us for questions or just reach out, where can they go?
You can get in touch with me at HowToMoneyAUS on Twitter and Instagram and www.howtomoney.online.
Cool. And you can find me at Owen Rask on Twitter and Instagram, but also head to our website to lodge questions, which is raskfinance.com, and you'll find links to lodge a question there. Cool. Kate, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening.